Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Off the Rails right here on A Cast of the Past. Because usually on this podcast, we review a classic video game, a classic movie from the 80s, from the 90s, from the 2000s. But every now and then, we like to sort of just set the agenda on fire and catch up. What are we playing? What are we watching? Sometimes we get to things that we sort of briefly touch up on other episodes, but this is the opportunity to sort of really talk about that. So we're going to be doing that with yours truly, Juan Velez from Puerto Rico. Joining me as always from Boston, Massachusetts, we have ourselves Ryan McNulty. Ryan, how'd you sleep today?
Not that well. Sunday into Monday is never a good sleep day for me because, you know, you're trying to get back on that 5-day work week schedule. So not good.
So we're going to get you the necessary energy to get through the day because that's just around the corner. But from London, Ontario, we got Keith M. Posha. Keith, my friend, I feel like whenever we do these off the rail episodes, Ryan and I kind of sort of touch up on our topics and then you're kind of like the third wheel. I want to change that.
I do. I just kind of jump in where I need to jump in.
But I want to make this about you, baby. So what you been playing? What you been watching? What you been doing? Who you been talking to?
I've been talking to you.
Oh, okay.
Man, going out's hard. Like, getting ready, going out, and then I have this problem going out where I always spend money. Like, I don't think it's possible for me to go out and, like, not drop $100. So I hate going out for that reason. I want to hoard my money. I just want to put it in a mattress. But anyway, that's another story for another day. What have I been playing recently? Well, a couple of video games. I've been juggling a few, and even though it's been out for a long time, I have still been deep in Super Smash Brothers. I love that game. I have not been online for a second, and I've probably only played like one or two multiplayer matches in it, but I probably put about 80 hours into the single player, the World of Light, the Spirit Board and stuff. And I love that game so much. I love it so much that I usually don't complete games. I'll usually like, oh, I'll touch it for a couple hours, if you know what I mean, and then move on to the next one.
Nicely done.
And thank you. But I've made it a goal to complete the entire collection board in that game. I think there's like 127 of them, and I'm little over halfway done, and damn it, I'm going to do it.
Who's your main
I've been playing my main in the World of Light, because I'm not done my playthrough there. It's been a lot of the Mii swordsman and just using his, because with the Miis you can customize their move sets and give them like whatever move you want. So I found the one that I really like to spam to get through a lot of those low fights, so I use him a lot. Him and Mewtwo are the two that I've unlocked that I really enjoy. And then outside of World of Light, I love Ganondorf. I've played him since Melee, and he is the best as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Smash Bros. And then also I've been playing a lot of Hitman 2. I loved the first Hitman, but there's a little bit of story behind that. Because you see, I did something that many people may consider blasphemous these days. And I traded in a video game for the first time in like 10 years to get Hitman 2.
What did you trade in?
All right, Ryan, I just want you to know I love you.
I traded in
Breath of the Wild, and blasphemy. I got Hitman.
Absolute blasphemy.
Why I did it is not so much a thing about not liking Breath of the Wild, because I think it's a great game, but I don't know, it was just going to sit on my shelf. What were the odds I was going to play Breath of the Wild again? Probably pretty slim, but I could take that money, there was a good promotion, and I could use it to go play Hitman. So I did that, and I honestly don't regret it. If I ever want to play Breath of the Wild again, hey, guess what? It's not like the copies are going to go anywhere, but now somebody else in London, Ontario gets to enjoy my copy of Breath of the Wild.
That they Trading probably games. Paid like $55 for.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, really, it's not a good deal, but if it's worth it to you, then it's
Gotta
worth
save
it.
Some money.
Honestly, trading games isn't that bad. I'm probably going to do more of it.
I've personally learned that unless you're willing to go out of your way, like the way if selling it on eBay or something, that I think for GameStop, it's absolutely just not worth it. At least me personally, too many times have I traded in a game and then a couple years later, I want to play that game and I really regret it. So now it's like, I don't turn in systems. I don't turn in video games that, you know, if I got to wait longer to play a game, you know, case in point, I don't have a PS4 or an Xbox One. When that's all goes super cheap, which it's starting to at this point, then now I can enjoy all those. Like, unless it's a game I really want to play, I also don't like to pay $60 for it. But obviously, something like a new Zelda comes out, I'm paying the $60. But yeah, for me personally, I always go back and want to replay games. And as a huge Zelda fan, I'm never trading in another Zelda game ever again. So it's just, to me, it seems crazy.
I like your idea in theory, but I had a long talk with myself and looked at my Steam library. Now, my Steam library in no way is like one of the craziest in the world, but I just looked at it. 620 games on there.
You got nothing.
I've probably maybe played 200 of them at best. That's probably even being generous.
You're probably above just average for most Steam users.
Right? So there's 400 games right there that I could go and play again if I want to. Will I probably ever do that? No. If I could trade some of those in, you know what? Honestly, I probably would. But the same idea kind of, it was a revelation that hit me when it comes to physical stuff as well. Like, I recently was going through some boxes. I found my old Vita. I haven't turned my Vita on in like 5 years. If I could get a couple bucks for it, what's
the Vita's actually
the bad
fairly
thing
rare to get now because people can modify that. Remember, there's like remote play with things like that. But I have a pretty
tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
No,
how much is my Vita worth?
Stuff. I mean, you can modify that. But I have a, I don't know if I actually shared this story with you guys. Maybe I did, like, I mean, we've known each other for over 10 years. So at some point, maybe I shared it. But my biggest and worst story with game trading happened in the PS2 generation, I want to say, because I had a I had a Dreamcast. And I traded that in with all sorts of games so I could get a PS1 that could have, you know how you could play some imported games? But you needed to buy like a little thing that had like a spring, it had a disc, get to take that out, like a couple of things.
And like a mod chip.
Yeah, like a mod chip. And that was like super expensive here. It was like over $100. And remember, like this is like around the PS2 generation. So I traded in like a whole bunch of PS1 RPGs, like some of my favorites, like Final Fantasy Tactics 7, 8, traded in my Dreamcast. The game that I got is one of the worst games for the PS1 to play imported. I got that Dragon Ball Ultimate Battle 22, whatever game, which was a piece of crap.
God.
Which came out later in the US. Like, that eventually came out in a full release, but I didn't know that. And
you poor bastard.
And the worst part, for anybody that hasn't played this game, if you press select, the game will play itself. I paid over $100 for a game that plays itself. And it was
so
at
wait,
that
it
point
was Ultimate Battle 22. Wasn't that other one that people? What was that other one? It was more 3D-ish. The Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it was like a traditional
game.
Fighting game that also sucked. Oh. It was also bad.
I will look it up.
But meanwhile, Keith, Ryan, I'm not really into this Thrones of the Games or something's going on today because we have a brand new season. Now, for context, I have not watched any Game of Thrones fans like the first three episodes. Honestly, it's not for me. I'm a more of a comedy show type of person. So I love me Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place, House Hunters, House Hunters International. I can watch that stuff. But I want to take it over to you, Keith, first. When did you first start watching Game of Thrones? What does that mean for you? And then how excited for are you for the remaining six episodes of the series?
I started late in Game of Thrones. I still haven't touched the books, and I'm probably never going to do so. It's just not something that interests me going into that deep into it. But as far as the show goes, I love it so, so much. I think I started watching by the time season 5 was out, and it was a slow start for me because I was like you, where I watched the first few episodes. I didn't really get into it. I saw through the first season, and then there's a bit in season two with a smoke monster, and I decided that that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen and gave up the show there. But, you know, I had a couple friends, Ryan included, that kept saying, give it a chance, give it a chance. This is great television, and gave it another chance. And now, no joke, it is my favorite television show ever. As far as I'm concerned, it is the best TV ever created. It's almost kind of, there's two minds looking into Game of Thrones, where there's like pre-season three and post-season three, because it's such a dramatic change in the way and the tone of the show, where it does slowly become more action-y, whether you like that or not. But the beginning scene or the beginning seasons are very dialogue heavy, and for lack of a better term, they're a little rapey, because there's some very over-sexualized stuff that really doesn't need to be. Yeah, that first season is brutal for that. But
how much does that change? Because that is the reason that I stopped watching the series.
A lot. They basically, damn near all the sexualization is gone. It still shows its head every now and then, but it's in more of a political way, where they use nudity for impact instead of just, hey, here's two characters boning because they can. Now it's like, oh, okay, this is a huge political message, and in this giant game, somebody has to like walk around the streets naked because they basically lost the political game. And they take that and then they add in so much more just cool violence, and that's what I love about that show. My favorite episode being Hard Home, just because of the whole White Walker. The White Walkers are basically like the Scourge from Warcraft 3, the Night King being the Lich King, and that's one of my favorite video game stories ever, so it hits me in that sweet spot. And I love everything about the White Walkers in Game of Thrones, and I think that's most of the reason why I'm so excited for this new season, because it's finally the culmination of, I'm hoping we get that culmination in a great way of the White Walkers have finally made it to Westeros, and it's going to be this huge battle versus the living and the dead. And oh god, I'm so bloody excited for that. And I'm hope it's going to be only 6 episodes, but I'm all in on this ride. I know there are some people that kind of fell off or were turned off by the last season, but I fell in love with it even more. Those giant battle scenes with like Daenerys's army versus the Lannisters, I thought that was some real cool stuff.
That was definitely a highlight,
and I'm hoping that we just get more of that in this new season.
So Ryan, I want to ask you something a little bit different. Say you have somebody like Juan, like this guy right here, that's not that I tried the series, okay? And like I mentioned, the first episodes just were not my thing. Now, Keith, saying that, I'm slightly persuaded, but if you could point out one specific thing that you're like, this is exactly why Game of Thrones is so memorable, like this is why I'm always thinking about the series or want to check it out, what would be that one thing for you?
That it has some of the best payoffs and best characters of any TV show. It doesn't follow the traditional, the hero's gonna win. The people who you think are the main heroes, they may not be the main heroes. And a lot of characters go through some really brutal journeys of really being tested. You know, what they are gets completely stripped away from them, and they have to like re-identify themselves. So it's just some of the best characters in any TV show. And that's the thing, is you really gotta just absorb that first season. You got to get through it. There's a point at the end of the season that really kind of gets everybody into it, and they just keep throwing characters at you, so you got to kind of take your time with it and really absorb what's going on. But once you get a couple seasons in, they don't really throw as many new characters at you, so you're able to kind of finally catch up. Because for a while, it is very, very confusing. You're like, oh, is this guy Robert Baratheon's son or his brother or what? Like, I don't know who this guy is. Like, who is this army? It takes a while to get your bearings. But once you get there, it's worth it. And Also, the books are good, and they're worth... I did the audiobooks for... It took me a year to get through them, but they are definitely worth it. Especially after you've watched the show, they can kind of paint some more depth to certain areas the show couldn't spend as much time on. But also, just it's fun to compare the differences. Some characters are actually better in the show than they are in the book. So it's kind of cool to see the differences.
How's the actual audiobook? Because I've tried to listen to a lot of them. Like, for example, anybody that's watching and listening and you've been scared to check out an audiobook, one that I would absolutely recommend is Console Wars. So that one talks about the battle between Sega and Nintendo. What?
I got Audible, so I should get...
Please get it, because Blade J. Harris, I even remember the voiceover person, because it was so memorable, because there's nothing better for me than a voice actor that really goes into the story. Because for me, it's like, I'm driving, and I don't want to get bored. That's why I love podcasts, which, like A Cast of the Past, which you can leave a review. But if I'm listening to an audiobook, and it's like super monotone... It can be like a really dramatic scene, and I'm like, well, the way that you're saying it is not how I would read it. And he lives like every little situation, and it's a pretty extensive book that talks about, you know, the angriness of Sega and the rivalry and eventually the downfall of Sega and the differences between Japan and North America with that Game of Thrones book. How is the actual voiceover and the way that it's presented?
It's narrated by Roy Dotrice, who unfortunately passed away recently within the last year or so. So he unfortunately won't be able to finish the series, but it's okay because probably the book's never going to come out anyway. But the thing is, it's super weird because he does a good job overall, but I feel like when he recorded certain ones might have been different. Like he might have re-recorded a Game of Thrones later because those voices seem more... The first book seems the most on point with trying to like match the characters in the show, but the other ones were recorded before. So it's weird because the way he says some characters' names changes and the way he does some of the characters' voices also change. So it's a little jarring when you're running through all the books at once because all of a sudden, like Daenerys goes... I mean, it's an older guy trying to do a woman's voice, but Daenerys sounds like a, kind of just his regular voice to all of a sudden sounding like an old lady in another book. And it's like, you know, she's supposed to be like, what, 16 or something? So it is a little weird. And also, like, he had Baelish's voice, like, pretty good in the first book. And then in a later book, all of a sudden he sounds kind of like a pirate or something.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So there are five books, right?
A question for you quickly. Is it jarring to have the characters in the show kind of as that reference point and then hear them differently? Like as the example, like when you say Littlefinger, I think of his voice in the show, but to hear him as a pirate, I don't know if I'd be able to do that. Yeah, that just seems off.
It's weird
to me.
Because I think he only does it for a couple chapters in a book and then he actually switches back. So it's just, he's a little all over the place with the voices. But no, I would say in the first couple books, I think like the first three books, they're fine. It's only a little bit weird where Davos is like, even though Davos is kind of a pirate, he's like super pirate with Davos. But other than that, I would say most of them are just like, either he's kind of just talking in a slightly different voice. Like it's not that bad. There's just a few that are kind of off.
So I mentioned earlier, so it's five books total? For Game of
Yes,
Thrones?
Yes, as of now, there's five main series books. There's a bunch of like spin-off things, but they're like kind of, some of them are like encyclopedias or just about like stuff in the past or whatever. But yeah, it's five main series books. The sixth one has been supposed to be coming out for like the past 3 years.
That book's never coming out.
Yeah. Well, so, we might get that one. We probably won't get the last book, though.
So actually,
yeah, I will bet that George R.R. Martin is not around to see that book come out.
I have
a lot
no
of people
idea who he
about
is,
that.
But I will assume he's a cool person. Maybe? Is he a cool person? I don't know who we're talking about.
The author of the book.
Oh, yeah. Once again, I don't know about the Throne of the Games thing.
That's
but
the old George Railroad Martin.
Okay. Okay. So I'll take your word for it. I you can tell me anything and I'll be like, of course, that's what we're talking about. But for those interested in the audiobooks, This is according to Quora.com, and Jorge Sawyer wrote, "Listening to a Game of Thrones through a Dance with Dragons takes 198 hours, 27 minutes, and 36 seconds. So the first book takes 33 hours. Second one, A Clash of Kings, 37. Storm of Swords, 47. A Feast for Crows, 31. And a Dance with Dragons, 48. Now, something that's really important worth pointing out, that's a lot, but you can actually speed up audiobooks. Something that I do, and I don't know if you do it, Ryan, I listen to at 1.5 speed, so only slightly faster. I've seen people do like three times the speed.
I wouldn't recommend it with these books. I would not recommend it with these books. There's a lot to try and understand, and there's a lot of characters. So even I feel like at normal speed, sometimes it's too fast to grasp what's going on. A lot of the things I listen to, if I like don't pay attention for a second, then all of a sudden I don't know what's going on. So I don't like to do that. If I was listening to, I could see that more with like podcasts and stuff, or it really depends on the book. But anything where you really have to follow very closely, it would be a little too fast for me, I think.
Yeah, agreed. But for me, just to sort of close things off, something that I've been doing a lot of is playing a lot of PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games. And I want to bring this up quickly because I think that we talked about this in one of the previous podcast episodes about the PS1 games not necessarily holding up. So something that I've been doing is I've been a little obsessed with collecting PlayStation 1 and PS2 jam-packed demo discs, which for the video version, it is literally all of that back there at this point. And for the audio ones, I'll send a tweet to a cast of the past. But, you know, PS1 games don't look that bad. Like, some of them do. Like, The Fifth Element, that's like a movie video game. Like, that's bad. But I played Spyro the Dragon, the first one. And you know that has the Reignited Trilogy, which is like the remaster, the remake, whatever, looks pretty. But the original one is still just fine. So I think it's just a matter of making sure that whenever you connect a console to your TV, you know, usually you have the composite cables, which is like the infamous, like, yellow, white, and red. But if you get some component cables or like an HDMI upscaler, you'd be surprised at how good some of these older games hold up. Have you guys played any classic stuff recently or are thinking about it?
I mean, it's definitely more passable. I've been playing the, you know, just the ones we've covered on the show, but even just adding the smoothing if you download it through like PSN and you just turn like the smoothing on
the PS3,
it does make a big difference. Yeah. In particular, like Tony Hawk, when I turned the smoothing on, it made, so when I recorded that footage for the video, it looked way, way better. But yeah, I do think I've looked back too harshly on PS1 for its graphics, because now going back, like, it made it seem like a lot of those games would be unplayable compared to N64, which sort of gets a pass because they tried for a more cartoony style or whatever. But I mean, we just played Resident Evil 2. I played Metal Gear Solid way after it came out. And, you know, Tony Hawk, like, it's completely playable. Yeah, so it's a little rough. It's definitely rough around the edges at certain points, but there's still really, really good games that hold up.
I do have to disagree with one thing you said, and I don't think the N64 gets a free pass, because even though the games look a little nicer, like, Jesus, every game turned on the fog machine to the extreme with the N64. I would go as far as saying that I think PS1 does hold up better than N64 just because of things like technical performance and just how much fog and or limited visibility you see in the N64 era. Like, yeah, some of the PS1 stuff is ugly, and there's some real ugly games, because no matter how much smoothing you put on it, like things like Bubsy 3D and even the first Gran Turismo's, like, they look like garbage.
I mean, N64 has like a few more games that I think are more beloved and revered that people go back to more often than PS1. Yes, there's a lot of iconic classic games on PS1, but when you look at things that kind of keep the old games alive, like speedruns, I feel like you see a lot more N64 games on speedruns.
But is that because they look nicer, or because that Nintendo games are so revered? Because most of the games you're talking about are Nintendo
effect more than anything else.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about PS1, it's just a really broad library and a much larger one compared to N64. But I think that what we got from N64, you can go back to, and Nintendo definitely put that tender loving care into. I mean, you've been playing through Ocarina of Time recently, Ryan. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, that game holds up, you can still play it, and it's not a really good N64 game. It's just a really good video game that came out in the N64.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. The biggest difference there. So for everybody watching and listening, I got a question for you. Say you were to play a video game on the N64 and the PS1 right now. No game in particular, but say they just put a console in front of you and you're like, which one would you play the most right now, generally speaking? Which would it be? So if you're checking us out on YouTube, please go to the comment section and let us know there. If you're listening to us on the road, please park your car, go to the right, and then go to Twitter, a cast of the past, and please let us know, because drive safely,
it's
folks.
It's okay. You can wait till you get home.
Exactly. It can wait. It can wait. But Keith, if people want to check out a little bit more of Cast of the Past, what do we have in the backlog, in the archives?
Well, you can go to those archives either on your podcast platform of choice or at youtube.com/acastofthepast and check out some episodes like some of the top video games that we've never played. You know, those things that we keep hearing about but never really took the time to check out. Ryan and Juan sat down with my support in spirit and talked about some of those. Or if you're a fan of the Super Nintendo and want to know the games that we loved, go check out some of our favorite Super Nintendo games. Spoilers, mine is Kirby. Kirby Superstar is the best game on the Super Nintendo. Or, you know, maybe you disagree and you like A Link to the Past. So why don't you go talk or check out the episode that we go and talk about A Link to the Past. That was really hard to say. And really do a deep dive into one of the most revered video games of all time. A game that I think is better than Ocarina of Time. I'll fight you for it.
So if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can also send us an email to acastofthepast@gmail.com. But the coolest way to do so is Discord. If you don't know what Discord is, it's like a chat app. You can have it on your phone. You can open it up on your browser. You can check it out at acastofthepast.com/Discord. The other way that you can help support us directly, aside from leaving a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app, so thanks to people like the Sparrow Wolf for doing so. We will definitely give you guys shout outs on the full length episodes of the podcast. The other alternative is Ko-fi. So Ko-fi, we're not talking about WrestleMania Kofi Kingston. We're not talking about WWE champions here, people, although we are the champions of retrospectives. That is true, my friend. So if you want to support this kind of Ko-fi, you can go to acastofthepast.com/Ko-fi. That's a website where you can monetarily, it's like a buying a cup of coffee. Say Ryan's falling a little asleep during an episode, you buy him a cup of coffee, $3, helps him out. He wakes up, everybody's having a good time.
There may be tea in here, but it could be a coffee.
It could be coffee, could be a tea, could be a smile. So that's another option there. So up until next time, thank you for watching and supporting, and we will definitely be back with another exciting edition of A Cast.
Dragon Ball GT Final Bout. That was the game, by the way.
Fast. Wow, that I
yep,
forgot
about
that
game. One existed.
Ooh, huh. That was rough. See, that is a PS1
that
game.
That was the one everyone paid like $100 to get.
Oh my god. Why are you reminding me of these things, Ryan? Keith, just say past. Just say past.
Past. A cast to the past.
That is the name of the show.